Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I just speak to ears and to hearts that they are both open to receive what you have for each and individual person here. I thank you for traveling mercies. I thank you for health. I thank you for peace, Lord. And Lord, in all things, we honor you. My name is Mary Beth Schultz. I am from Mineral Wells, West Virginia. And if you know anything about West Virginia, that's somewhat on the Ohio River near Parkersburg. I am the youngest member of the Wolf Pack, and I believe they would describe me as the bossiest. I am a school teacher by trade. I was 16 years in the math department, grades 7 through 12. And this is my fifth year in the school counselor's office. But I had some awesome parents. In Proverbs it says, train up a child in the way that she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from that. But what they didn't know was I would start bossing them around. Hold up your print or your electronic Bibles. I have a few men in my life that I have modeled after. Pastor Winnig out in Iowa did this every time he broke bread, as in the word bread, with his congregation. Repeat after me. This is the word of God.
This is the word of God.
And I believe that it is true.
I believe it is true.
Amen. Amen. My workshop title is War Cry of the Mercy of God. My scripture given to me by Nancy was, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. That's the first part of Romans 12:1. And you'll notice that your note sheet is very teacherish. You know, you can take the teacher out of the classroom, but you can't take the teaching, yeah, it's still going to be here no matter where I go. You know, whatever the fivefold ministry is, you got the fallback of the teacher. So this is your takeaway. This is your remembrance. You know, everybody gets something different out of the message. You take notes, you don't take notes, you pick it up 10 years later because you found it somewhere and you review it, and it sparks something, and you have discussion. The learning objectives for today, the student, that's you guys, and me, because I'm a student too, will be able to define mercy. You have your own definition. And if you haven't noticed already, I walk around a lot. That's a teacher thing too. So, the dictionary.com definition of mercy includes compassionate or kindly forbearance shown towards an often offender, an enemy, or another person in one's power, compassion, pity, or benevolence. After today's workshop, you should be able to state examples of mercy. And lastly, you should be able to demonstrate mercy. And this is a progression of when we first learned to take students to higher order thinking. Bloom's was a big education guru. You know, you can list, you can define, you can take it a little bit further, you can see examples of it out there, but when you really learn something, you do it. So you're a doer of the word. You're a doer. You take what you've learned and you put it in action. So I don't just want to tell you about mercy. I don't want you just to tell me about mercy. It's great to have a testimony. And you need to have a testimony to share with people, but you need to have a fresh testimony. So that means you need to be living it every day. Down towards the middle of the page, this is Nancy's quote that she sent me in the email when she gave me my direction for what to speak about. The gospel is precisely God's mercy towards inexcusable and undeserving sinners in giving his son to die for us, in justifying us freely by faith, and sending us the life-giving spirit, and in making us freely by faith. Our total commitment to God is based on the totality of his mercy to us. My sister Dee is speaking on grace, and my sister Sabe is speaking on humility. And as soon as we got our titles, my sister Dee shoots off her definition. She'll probably give you her definition of grace, but her definition of mercy comes next. You don't get what you deserve from torment, from disobedience. You know, I gave the hook when I introduced my workshop, Jerry Lee Lewis's Great Balls of Fire. I remember growing up in church. You know, I had the hell scared out of me, literally. I was afraid. I walked in fear. I was afraid I was going to do something wrong, and oh my goodness, I thought snakes were like the most awful thing in the world. I used to have dreams about snakes. And then they would progress when I grew and matured in my walk. My dreams about snakes progressed, and I finally took dominion over them. And so that means something. I pay attention because that was so important to me when growing up, fear was. And overcoming is a big thing. So when a snake shows up in my dream, I pay attention to what's going on. I have some workshop scriptures at the bottom, but I have a lot more. I've already quoted, I believe, Lamentations 3:22 through 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I woke up this morning reciting that in my head. You know, I looked up mercy scriptures, and there are so many times that I look up scriptures for my workshops or somebody else. And that verse, I've already been singing that verse because somebody has taught me a song based on the word. So that just ruminates in me. God's mercies are new every morning. It doesn't matter what happened the night before. But you know what? New every morning can be 2 o'clock in the afternoon. What just happened at lunchtime? You just got mad at the waitress or the waiter because they weren't perfect for one day. You know, you weren't having such a wonderful time. I told my daughter the other day, I was driving. You know, when I drive in a big city, I start driving aggressively, and sometimes it takes me a day to get out of it. So Parkersburg's not that big, but I was driving, and she was in the car, and I just said, I am so upset with these people. And I said, okay, Graham Cook's coming out. I've been listening to him for months and months and months, and no, I choose to be upset. But I could choose to be another emotion. So why do I choose to be upset? Why do I choose anger? Why can't I choose compassion? Why can't I choose to have mercy? Why can't I see the blue lining and think, oh my goodness, what is that person in front of me going through? Why did they stop abruptly in front of me? What did happen to them that I didn't see? Let it go, Mary Beth. Let it go. Offer them mercy. You know what? When I let it go, my blood pressure went down. I wasn't so irritable. And I let my daughter see me as a real person. I make mistakes. I sometimes get mad and raise my voice inappropriately, and I have to apologize. And it's okay to apologize, because we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 1 through 16. I know it's kind of long, but it's one of my favorites. I'm in the New Living Translation. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Yeah, you. Not just me standing up here talking. You. Every one of you that's in this crowd. You have been called. Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults. because of your love. Make every effort to keep yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. That is one of my favorite words. Sometimes that's hard to achieve, but in my house, that reigns. In my physical house, in my physical body, that's what I look for. In my physical dwelling with my husband and daughter, and we have house church in my house. So do you think I would be inviting other people into my house if I didn't have my house in order? You know, that house is prayed over. That house is where it should be. For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future. There was one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father who is over all and in all and living through them. However, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascends to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says he ascends. This clearly means that Christ also descended to our lowly world. And the same one who descended is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens so that he might fill the entire universe with himself. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Who's the church? We are. Not just me. Not just the man or woman standing up front, or the group that's standing up front. Not just the praise team. Not just the teacher in the classroom or the nursery. Not just the greeter at the door. We're all the church. That means we're apostles. We're prophets. We're evangelists. We're pastors. And we're teachers. Don't tell me you're not. Now, that might be something that's not cultivated and well walked out. Speak those things that are not as though they are. You are an evangelist. So that means you spark something in somebody else to be better. You are a prophet. You speak life into people. You are a teacher. You show them and you testify and you let them see and model a better life. You are a pastor. You're a herder of sheep, and sometimes they're stinky. But you love them anyway, even through all their stinkiness. What one did I leave out? You are an apostle. You start up a church? Where do you have church? Wherever two or more are gathered. Shoot, we have church around the breakfast table. We have church in Walmart. We have church at the football game. Hey, when the porta potties were here last year, I had church out by the porta potties. Church is wherever two or more are gathered. Speak life into one another. Continuing reading up through verse 16. Isn't that what I said? Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. I'm mature, but sometimes I do immature things. I give permission to those people around me to correct me. It's hard to take sometimes. Pride likes to well up. We still throw tantrums. Or we get in the rut. Well, that used to work. Why doesn't it work anymore? I'll admit, pride's the one that I've been dealing with. Pride because I've seen some blessings. I've seen some prophetic words come true. I've seen lots of wonderful things, and I have expectations for even bigger and better things. But I'll just admit, I sometimes forget to give God all the glory. Sometimes I forget to commune with Him daily, and I start walking in myself. And you know what? Things start going not so well. And then I remember, focus. God's mercies are new every morning. I just messed up. I just didn't do what I was supposed to do. For the past 15 years, I didn't do what I was supposed to do. Well, tomorrow's a new day. I don't know how to get there. But you know what? I remember that my mama used to take me to church. I remember there were people up front that proclaimed wonderful and glorious things. I remember seeing people healed and delivered. Train up a child in the way that she should go, and when she is old, she will not depart from it. I'll give a little testimony of the Wolf family. There were 6 of us children, and 2 of us aren't here anymore. I got tired of fighting depression and suicide. I got tired of seeing it all over my family and my nieces and nephews. So I bring. Mom, I remember the promises of God. Can you get together with me? Mom, I'm tired of losing family members. I'm tired of walking in sadness. I'm tired of thinking about 50 ways to kill myself. Bring, Sister D. I know your kids are going through a lot of the same thing. We're tired of this. Bring, bow. I know your kids are going through the same thing. So this is my Mama Wolf. This is Ida Wolf. This is my Sister D. Jones. This is my sister-in-law, Valerie Wolf. Together with Dee's daughter, Missy, we kicked off the first Wolfpack prayer group. We went to the family campground, which is based on having a great place, having godly principles. We used to have family church out there long ago. It's still a place that I go as a refuge. It doesn't have all the modern conveniences. We still have an outhouse. But we got in that cabin, and we started warring because we didn't know what else to do. I'm a trained counselor. I tried to think myself through it, and I couldn't do it. Bring. Sabe, where you been for the past 2 years? You know, we wanted to say, what's your problem? Where have you been? But we didn't. We love you. We need you. You know, we know you're going through some stuff, but we need to help you, and you need to help us fight for our family. So what did we do? We had prayer meetings about every month. We weren't well skilled. We had to practice mercy on each other because we messed up, and we vomited all over ourselves, and we pooped our pants, and we showed nastiness. But you know what? We prayed it out of each other. We encouraged each other. We had deliverance all through the goal of improving the life of my family because I was tired of losing brothers. I was tired of wanting to die. I mean, I did. I would see a car along the side of the road and think to myself, what happened if I would just run into all them, not only kill myself, but them too? That thought is not of Jesus, I tell you that. And I can't say that those thoughts don't come anymore. They don't come near as often, and I recognize them in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you. Get thee behind me, Satan, and I start speaking life. Okay, our families aren't exactly where they are. So what did we do? We honored our men. Bring, Michael Polly. Get up here. We loved our men. We didn't reject them. They were walking in crap just like we were walking in crap. Michael gets on board. Bring, 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 Papa Wolf. And for those of you in audio land, the whole family's getting called forward, and we're forming a chain across the front. It's not just me praying. We're hand in hand, we're linked arm in arm, and we are putting the 10,000s to flight. Are we perfect? No. We still apologize to each other. We still cry. We still know that there are people in our family who could live a better lifestyle and have made bad choices. Bring, 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 bring. Dave. Stage 4 is going to have a new meaning for him. Dave's on stage 4 is going to mean he's speaking on stage 4. He's speaking about stage 4. He's testifying because he is an overcomer. And if you don't know what that means, I suggest you come and ask my brother what stage 4 means to him. We are still battling. God's mercies are new every morning. I'm not standing up here alone. I have my whole family. And we've adopted lots of you guys too. Haven't we, Jean? Haven't we, Hope? You guys can sit down. But what's this to say? One person can make a change. One person can repent. What's repent? Repent just means make a mind change. Repent means, oh, what, how I was thinking before is not working. Whatever I was doing wasn't getting the job done. It was not bringing life to me or those around me. I had to repent. I had to say, it's not just my mom's job. She's more spiritual than me. It's not just my pastor's job. He's more spiritual than me. It's not just my sister's job. She's more spiritual than me. It's not just blank's fault. And I blamed a lot of people. I work out my own salvation. But when I work out my own salvation, I can be a light in a dark place. Because God's mercies are new every morning. I made lots of mistakes. And I'll talk about them. Because I have messed up in lots of ways. But God's mercies are new every morning. Can you tell I appreciate my family? Some people are just related. And some people are family that aren't blood related at all. Aren't they, Robinettes? Amen. I got somebody's notes page. I don't know whose it is. Did I even make it through Ephesians? I don't think I did. Am I to verse 14 or 15? Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. We are full of life. Are we perfect? No. We let God shape us and change us from glory to glory. We apologize when we need to. We take correction when we need to. We put on our big girl and big boy panties and get in the Word and search out new revelations when we need to. Because we are mature. Matthew 5:7. Bill Johnson often says this. It's part of the Beatitudes. God blesses those who are merciful, for they will be shown mercy. It kind of sounds like as you sow, so shall you reap. How many of us have been sowing the wrong things and praying for crop failure? Both hands, both feet up in the air. Yeah. Lord, show mercy on us. Lord, show mercy on those people that I offended, that I taught the wrong things, that I acted inappropriately towards. Lord, bless them. Now it's here. William Shakespeare says, in The Merchant of Venice, it's not on your notes page, "It is twice blessed. It blesseth him that gives and him that takes." Now, what's he talking about? Before, he says, "The quality of mercy is not strained. It droppeth as the gentle rain from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice blessed." So, when you show mercy, you're getting mercy. When you show good to others, good happens to you. So let's think about I'm going back to my geometry teaching, the double negative, contrapositive maybe, or inverse. I forget what that is, but it's a logic term. So if I'm showing nastiness, Eric, what do you think I'm going to reap back? Nastiness, right. So if I want what's around me to change, my atmosphere to change, I better start changing what I give out. And you might be the first person, wherever you are, to start doing that. It has to be a conscious decision sometimes, because I have a new job, praise the Lord. So those of you that heard me last year, I was really struggling in my old job, and God gave me a new one, and it was time for me to move on. So praise the Lord. But I would just have to really think to myself as I was crying on the way to work at my old job, how do I be a Christian woman in this setting? How do I continue to sow life into everybody around me? I'd really have to work on that. I really felt delivered from an awful situation, and I praise the Lord daily. I drive 41 miles one way to work now. But out of that 41 miles, I listen to podcasts. I listen to YouTube. I listen to praise music. I am building up myself. But do you think I would be doing that on my own if I didn't have my family to encourage me? Do you think I would have made it through my old job as well if Nancy Haney hadn't reached down and yanked me and put a demand on my anointing? I praise God that she helped me be more in the Word, because I started digging in. I started eating God's truths daily. I started worshiping. I mean, I did that before, but sometimes it wasn't until we all got together. Sometimes it wasn't, we even skipped a week because we didn't want to go get up and go to church, but I don't have an excuse anymore because church is at my house. You have church whether you want to or not. And that's all right. Another quote, and, you know, some resources online attributed it to Buddha, and some said, no, it wasn't Buddha, but I think you've probably heard it before, and some wise person said this, and it wasn't necessarily in English to begin with, and I doubt it was. Holding on to anger or a grudge or resentment is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Your emotions toward them in a negative light is not doing you any good. So speak mercy over them. Speak life. Bless them. Yeah, Lord, yeah. I speak life. I thank you that they have life abundant too, because you know what? I'm not just a child of God. That person is really getting under my skin is too. But I choose to let them get under my skin. And I can also choose not to. I can choose to extend to them mercy. Because God's mercies are new every morning. And morning could be 8 o'clock at night when you're mad at them. They're new for that person too. Luke 6, 35 through 36. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. And another word for compassion is mercy. You must be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. You don't have a right to be mad. You don't have a right to slander. There are some situations in my life that I just had to eat it and deal with it because God was teaching me something. I was finishing my master's degree in school counseling, and I had another teacher friend and I who were sitting in class, and we would take notes, and we would share things back and forth. And we weren't loud or anything. But we were sitting in a class with professional counselors, and they didn't know what to do with us teacher folk. You know, we really felt like the redheaded stepchild in there because we were in the education department but taking lots of counseling classes. And we were singled out. She reprimanded us in front of the entire class. Oh, didn't I take offense? Oh, didn't my friend take offense? Because we weren't doing what she accused us of. I really wanted on that evaluation for that class to just slam her. I'm glad I was obedient in that. Who knows what that could have created? It's still kind of a tender spot because when you get falsely accused, doesn't it hurt? I'm mostly healed from that until somebody else comes along and jabs me a little bit in the same place, you know. God's still working on that. Give it to God. So there's something that I needed to pray for that teacher. Lord, mercy, mercy, mercy. So I didn't write anything. I did my assignments, I took my grade, and I moved on with my life. And I learned to be merciful, and I walked it out. My friend is a pastor's wife down in Florida. She's also a teacher, so she is definitely walking in mercy. My friend who took fertility pills for 2 children and then, oops, God blessed her with a 3rd. You know? God's mercies. I'm on the back. By default, if you trust Nancy, Nancy chose me to speak here, you have a certain amount of trust in me. You might not trust me totally, but because I'm associated with Point Hope Ministries, you think I'm an okay person. And when you sit and you listen, hopefully you'll know I'm an okay person. But this is what I've been feasting on within the past year, within the past month. I haven't finished all of these books. Some I'm still through. But, you know, I've let you... You know here by the quotes from Graham Cook and Dr. Vinnie Andrew and Robert Lairdon and Scott McKnight and Brad Lomenick. These are the things that I've been pondering. You know, sometimes I have revelation on all of it and sometimes I don't. Scott McKnight, page 111, and I think I have a typo there, but sometimes our social allergies to others are the result of moral judgment. I don't like that John Long type. You know what? He just, you know. So I've made a judgment on him. I made a judgment on those like him. But he's good people. And usually it's something in myself that I need to work out that I've recognized in him. So what is it I need to work out? Why am I judging that person? Show mercy. I'm envious. This man is an awesome musician. He is well-trained, well-practiced, well-skilled. I have a better appreciation for those in the arts and music. It takes a lot of breath to sing. It takes a lot of effort and coordination. I tried the piano for a year or two, tried to teach myself. It's hard. It's hard to get that left hand and that right hand going together. And God might bring the piano back to me, but I'm thankful for all those other people who are skilled in it. Amen. We've all got gifts. We all are a part of a body. We all knit together. And it might be somebody else's job to play the piano. And I can hum, and I can sing, and I can still praise the Lord. Graham Cook, fourth bullet. Man, this hurts. Stop complaining. Stop whining. Stop self-pity. Stop playing the victim. Quit moaning. Because that's all the worship language of hell. You're in the kingdom. So you're rejoicing. You're praising. You're worshiping and giving thanks. You can't do both. Got to choose one. Graham Cook, under the practice of delight, the second bullet. You are growing to fit all of that, to create space. My spirit pushing out four walls. I own this room. Now, without hearing the whole thing, that's kind of hard to imagine. But this is what this means to me. My sister is giving a talk. She is the one leading. She has created an atmosphere. She owns that room. But when I walk in that room, I'm an atmosphere changer too. That doesn't mean I take command. That doesn't mean I take control. That doesn't mean I bring attention to myself. That means I complement. I work as a member of the kingdom. She has maybe been warring hard to create an atmosphere in this room so that you can learn, so that you can experience, so that you can, you know, really get revelation on the grace of God. But when I walk in that room and bring my spirit, Mary Beth's spirit that's in the kingdom, I create a presence as well that's complementary. So she doesn't have to war as hard. My sister Sabe walks into the room. And same thing. We are not in conflict. We are not trying to steal attention from anybody else. But we are supporting. So that means we're atmosphere changers. People notice a difference. Nancy's already said it. When you walk in a room, you should be an atmosphere changer. And the more of you that get together, it makes it easier on one another. So, we've talked positive and we've talked negative. So if you're an atmosphere changer and you walk in with a nasty look on your face and you're pointing fingers and you're grumbling, well, what kind of atmosphere is that? You're bringing that atmosphere in too. And you know what happens? Some other little gossip, bitty man or woman, it doesn't matter, saddles up alongside of you, and you're just deciding, I'm going to take on the offenses, whether they're mine or not, and let's just talk about that person or that situation. That's not uplifting, is it? The worship language of heaven, praise. So let's speak life. Speak life. But you know what? Even when I did get together, even when I was holy and sitting at the table and had righteous things come out of my mouth, 5 minutes later I was critical of somebody, and don't I have to repent and say, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have judged that person. I should have shown mercy. And that just happened yesterday. My dad says sometimes it applies to yourself. You're right. Sometimes you do need to show yourself mercy. You can beat yourself up. You can disqualify yourself from not taking the next step. Well, I did this yesterday. So when that person calls me on the phone, I'm ignoring it and I'm not even going to pick it up and answer it because I don't have anything to give them. It's not you. It's Christ in you working. Christ, the Holy Spirit. You guys are in tune. I know. Look at you mature people out here. You know the voice of God. You don't have to have things in your mind. You don't have to be trained. You don't have to have a piece of paper that said you're certified. That blood certified you. And when you practice inappropriately, when you've tried and done your best and somebody got harmed, you call them back and you apologize, don't you? And say, let's talk this out. You know, maybe I didn't give you the best advice. What should we have done differently? Hallelujah. I love that song. Leonard Cohen, and my brother says, who else had a hand in it? Bob Dylan. Originally wrote it around 1984. He worked on it a long time. A lot of people have recorded it and changed it up a little bit. You know, in the original song, there are references to David and Bathsheba and Samson and Delilah. So there's some scripture in there. But a couple years ago, and it's not even, you can't even download it yet. There is a YouTube video. But Cloverton did a Christmas version of it, and that was very inspiring to me. So here is where I have spent most of my time in writing these words that represent me and my family. I've heard about a true family who's come to love unconditionally, and I just want to sing this song to you. It goes like this, the fourth, the fifth, the minor fall, the major lift. With every breath I'm singing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Couple came to know the Lord, expecting six who now are four, and find their faults are there for all to see. There was still hope because of faith, so in our Lord our presence make, God's love will show to all, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I know you came so we could be your salt and light for all to see. A world, a kingdom waiting all for you. We stand as one, united here with the one, have ears to hear. We honor you and cry out hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah. A humble servant heart there is in all of us, so we can give and share the gifts he's given you and me. When love's pursued, the others come from the Spirit, lacking none. He freely gives out favor. Hallelujah. 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 Mercy, grace, humility. Sisters, yes, we are three. Obedient, we answer to your call. Just tell us where there is a need. As gardeners, we plant your seed and cultivate your kingdom. Hallelujah. 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 Greatest, least, it matters not, respecting all as we were taught. Holy Spirit, life's potential we declare. A call to arms, we answer true. Linked in prayer, we battle through. Life's struggles overcome. Oh, hallelujah. 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 To the fivefold we submit, pastor, teacher, evangelist, apostle, prophet, Ephesians personified. In our weakness you are strong, together we will serve you long, to make heaven on earth, oh hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I'm pretty much finished, but I just want to recognize we're warriors. I got these flags, and I've been praising with them. This is how I worship the Lord. And I bought a flag for every part of our armed services. And don't you forget the Coast Guard either, because they're here too. So, who gets my flags? If you have people you're praying for, if the motto rings true to you, you get the flag. Air Force. Integrity first. Service before self. Excellence in all we do. Who gets the Air Force flag? To pray, to honor, to represent that we're all warriors together in our war cry. Not just for mercy, but for everything. Air Force. Don't be shy. Back here. What's your name? Dean. Dean has Air Force. Marine Corps. Semper Fidelis. Always faithful. Did I give you the Air Force one? Okay. Marines. Who has family members, touched heart, or just are always faithful? All right, Dean gets another one. These are prayer cloths. These have been praised and prayed and use them. Coast Guard, semper paratus, always ready. That's Army. Here's, I think this one's Coast Guard. Always ready. Those on waterways that are domestic, I believe, is the Coast Guard, right? Navy, honor, courage, commitment. Oh, we got two. You okay? All right. Amen. Amen. Yes. They don't deserve it, but they get mercy. You choose. It is a conscious effort in the beginning to show mercy. And when you practice it more, it flows more freely. What you put in front of you, you worship. So what's in front of your face? So if you're practicing mercy, you'll get better at showing it. My mother wants to know if she's getting graded on this. Well, I guarantee when you meet Jesus, there is a test. It's a good thing Jesus was also there to give us all the answers through the Holy Spirit. Now here's the tough part, and this is even tougher than the faith workshop that I had last year. But when you share it, you don't really know it until you teach it to somebody else. So if you make a declaration out into the atmosphere and you speak it, that means you own it. That means we help you own it, and we hold you accountable. And those people around me know that I will hold you accountable to what you say. Not in a bad way. Right, Debbie? But an encouraging way. Because you got something that I need. You got something that the people around you need. You've got gifts that you should be using. And if you're not using those gifts to further God's kingdom, you're being stingy. You're making it harder on me to create an atmosphere in this room that's creating God's kingdom. I need you all here. I need you to be prayed up. I need you to walk in to be loving to everyone. And no matter what circumstance you tell me, no matter anything that's going on, love wins. Love wins. So anybody want to make a declaration boldly, confidently?
We are merciful. We do give mercy, and we receive mercy. It's good to know the one that gives mercy to us. Lord, I thank you that you would allow me to be merciful to all that I see for thee, O Lord. Thank you for your mercy, your grace, your love, your face that shines upon me and all of we. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Who or how are you showing mercy? Who else wants to share?
For myself, go easy on expectations, not perfection.
Reward yourself for doing well. Forgive yourself for messing up and take another step forward. And if you don't know which direction to go, talk to God. And if you still are a little clogged in hearing that, you ask your kingdom friends. Who else has a declaration?
I declare that our family will love one another and stop judging one another. Thank you, Lord. Praise is media. We forgive one another. We're not perfect, but we're growing and we're going to overcome. Thank
you. Who else has a declaration?
I declare that I am going to be merciful to myself from this day forward. In amen. Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Who else has a declaration? Okay.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. I'm holy, tried and true, and with thanksgiving I'll be a living sacrifice and a for you.
Amen. Amen.
I almost forgot the song.
It's all right. We grant you mercy.
Mercy, mercy.
Bow down now.
Well, Mother, what God's rule is, if you try to keep it, it will moths weed it, it'll mold, it'll decay. If you give it away, you never can run out. Whatever it is, whether you're giving love or hate, it's the same thing. If you give away hate, you're surely smart enough to see how it hurts everything in the long run. So then you don't want to keep giving away hate. But you want to keep giving away your love, your mercy, your friendship. If you want more friends, be a friend. Give it away. Be friendly to people.
Any other bold or not so bold declarations?